Cheryl Ricker writes, I never waste a pang of pain, a drip of tear, or spot of strain. She shares from her darkest nights of the soul while providing comfort to those who face difficult times, and we all do, in her book titled A Friend in the Storm, published by Zondervan. And Cheryl Ricker is with us today to talk about A Friend in the Storm and comfort in hard times. Cheryl, thanks for joining us.
It's great to be here, Steve. Thank you.
Well, your book is geared toward those who face difficulties and trials in life. When you put the book together, did you have any idea how many Americans would be struggling with the economy?
No, at that point, I really didn't.
Yeah.
That happened much before the time of the economy fall. I was really just interested in helping other people, and I actually had a close friend that became a close friend very quickly to me. I met her at Mothers of Preschoolers group, and I just God brought her into my life and stirred this book from meeting her.
How were you able to help her with some of the things in this book?
I basically just, when she asked me to come over to visit her in her home, I was really terrified, and I asked God what I could say. And he just reminded me, you know, his word is powerful. I hadn't been through what she had been through, but I would be able to encapsulate some of the scripture in poems because that would really speak to her. And I've delved into my own experience, too, having been through different experiences in my life where I'd been having emotional issues and I'd been hurt and, you know, I'd gone through some physical things too as a child, and I really asked God to show me what she needed to hear, and by focusing on some of the things that would be about heaven and hope, I was able to connect to her heart and give her a feeling of, you know, that God is sovereign in this. And that he's going to take care of her family. And, I mean, the main part is that she had told me that she had stage 4 lung cancer from the beginning of our relationship. And that's the thing that I didn't know why I was terrified to meet with her, because she was dying. And I was like, Lord, I don't know if I want to start a friendship with, you know, someone in this, because I have never walked this path. And yet she had sort of singled me out and said, you know, I want to meet with you in my home on a regular basis. And so that began the book, because every time I would come, I would bring her a different poem, never expecting it would be made into a book.
Okay.
But just, it was my offering, and I just kind of felt it was my loaves of bread and fish, you know.
Uh-huh.
Here you go, Lord. Here you go, Chantel. That's her name. And before you know it, I had a whole bunch of these. And one day she just asked me, Cheryl, would you be willing to read some of these at my funeral? And I was not prepared for that question, because I didn't realize we were so close. And I thought, how can I do this? You know, how can I stand up in front of all of her family and friends and share these poems at her funeral? But the same Lord that helped me write them for her and used them in that sense was able to help me, too, to be able to do that, and I know that she would have been smiling from heaven, because she had a real heart for her unsaved relatives that were in the audience. There was some, and possibly some friends too, and these poems are very much focused on the love of God, which speaks a deep language that we all can connect with, you know, his passion for us and connecting his pain on the cross with our pain, and how there's redemptive value. We don't suffer in vain. God never wastes an ounce of pain. So I really believe that those were seeds planted that day. But, you know, Steve, I thought, okay, I've done it. I've done what I meant to do. My mission was to minister to her. And so that was all good. And I thought, all right. But then I was planning to already go to a conference, a writer's conference, many months before. And I went there hoping to get a children's book published, actually. And while I was there, they said, do you have anything else to show us? And I said, well, I have these poems. And then some people saw them and said, wow, there's a lot of ministry value here. This is powerful and beautiful, and it would help people. You need to put it in a gift book. And then I really started to think about that. So I went back home, and I talked to a close friend that God had brought into my life who had survived many different calamities, including cancer when she almost died. And I said, hey, Cindy, how would you suggest I go about doing this? What helped you the most when you were at your worst? And she told me, you know, I really didn't have a lot of energy, but I felt like I was very helped by reading quotes by respectable Christian leaders. They just really fed me. And I thought, okay, why don't I incorporate very powerful quotes along with scriptures and poetry? And I basically rewrote all the poetry and added very many more than I had, and had them to flow together like a story where it's a personal conversation between Christ and a hurting person. And it's answering that really difficult question that we all ask, which is, why would a good and loving God allow this to happen to me?
Yeah, yeah.
And so it's just wanted to shed light on that through Scripture. And basically he answers through his love for us, that he just pours that out in an expression of song over us, which is really quite scriptural if you think about it, mm-hmm. because Zephaniah 3:17 says that he rejoices over us with singing. And so we don't know what that sounds like, but when we're crying, you know, or when we're in grief so deep that we don't know what to do, it's all darkness and we can't really hear his voice, I wanted to help echo his voice through scripture and make people feel his love in song. So it was just a God thing, how God brought this out, and we're able to now hear back from people that when I don't know what to say, it's really, really helpful. And it all started because of my friend Chantal and mm-hmm. how God brought her into my life. And I just think it's an example of how God does not waste pain right there.
Yeah, yeah. So, Cheryl Ricker is our guest today. We're talking about her book, A Friend in the Storm, published by Zondervan. And a book of poems, a little gift book. It's just a really handy size and a great little book to carry and to use. You were talking about how God never wastes pain, but you know the first impulse we have when we fall into pain or into hard times is to ask God to take it away, and He usually doesn't. He usually helps us go through it, and I think that's one of the messages of your book, isn't it?
That's absolutely right. He says that my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. And he just wants us to trust him when we can't see, because it's those times that our faith is tested that we really learn how to not lean on our own understanding, but just to receive from him all that he has to offer and know that he's been there before. He's the only one who can say, I truly understand what you feel. And I truly, truly identify with you, and I'm not going to let you go through this. I just want you to let go of everything you've been holding on to and hold on to me. And so that's how he helps us through. And even though he had the power himself to, you know, call down angels from heaven and not have to go through the cross, he knew that that was the only way, was to go through it. And so many times as Christians, you know, we just think, oh, God, where are you? Why are you letting this happen to me? I'm a good person, and there's all these other people that just seem to be doing all right, but have you forgotten about me? And we feel like that because, you know, as Christians, we believe that God does answer prayer, but sometimes he just does not answer the way we think he should. And this is the real part of where our faith is made known and shown. And, he can receive glory in ways we never would have expected when we walk through and let him hold us as we pick up our cross and follow him.
This book is comprised mainly of poems with also quotes and scripture verses, and all of them combine into a comforting whole. But what do you think it is specifically about poems that are especially comforting?
Well, there's a special beauty in poetry and its conciseness. It can reach the heart like nothing else can. It soothes people and it causes them to be moved to change, and it helps them to see life just a little bit differently. You know, whether it's rhythm or rhyme or imagery, they all help people to see truth, and it makes truth more memorable to them. And I just think poems are honest and personal, and that's why we always turn to the Psalms for comfort. And when people hear their hearts expressed, they feel more understood, like they're better able to connect with the person who is talking to them. So that's why in A Friend in a Storm, when Jesus connects his pain with ours, we feel more understood by him and cared for, which makes us more likely to trust him and choose to be close to him. So, yeah.
Yeah. This book applies not only to circumstances of, oh well, fatal illness or something like that, but also when we get bad news of any kind, something that just kind of throws us off and might tempt us to be, despairing or something like that. How do you think this book will help in those circumstances? Maybe someone suddenly loses a job or something like that.
It absolutely helps in that way because it helps us to focus our mind on things above. You know, we're told to think on whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, and all of those different things. And we need to just pour truth in our souls when we're nervous and fearful. Because there's one verse that encapsulates this too, one poem that encapsulates this too, about the fears that we can feel when things are going not our way or when we're stressed and nervous. And it's actually called Bouquet, and it's reminding us the power of God's Word. And these poems are infused with truths from Scripture. So this one's called Bouquet. It says, "When fear, fierce pain, saps energy and wilts your hopeful thoughts, from bended knee I'll let you see my sweet forget-me-nots, my words an open flower, fragrant, healing, blooming gift. When I say I'm yours forever, rest in truth and take a whiff." And it's just saying, take a deep breath. It's going to be okay. Let my truth saturate you and guide you when you want to try to figure everything out yourself. You know, lean on me.
When I looked through this book, Cheryl, one of the things that struck me as I read it through is the conciseness. There isn't an extra word in the whole thing.
No, there really isn't.
Even the quotes are short and packed with meaning. And how'd you find those?
Well, that was a long process because mm-hmm. I had to be very picky about the quotes I chose. And I read a lot of books on comfort. I have a whole library now full of them. And I made quite an investment, too, and also hung out at the Christian bookstore for a long time and took notes. So I was always trying to find a certain one to fit with a poem or a scripture I wanted to hit on 45 essential hope-filled topics, you know, that we go through when we need hope. I wanted them to also connect together so that they were like a stepping stone to the next thought. So it wouldn't just be a mishmash here and there everywhere, but it would actually have a progression and would walk the reader through the stages of grief. You know, and they would be able to express their own denial and anger and all the way to acceptance, you know, when they're making peace with their grief and crisis situation.
That's what I was going to ask you, if there's a thread that you're following through this book or a progression. And you said the stages of grief?
Yep, denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance are the five stages of grief that you'll find in A Friend in a Storm, although there's so much more. I mean, I just touch on those. It's not all about those because it's really focused on just dealing with issues, whether it's unforgiveness or doubt or worried about your loved ones. You know, it's kind of back and forth between God and this person where it seems like the person reading is like, okay, listening to what God is speaking to them, and then they'll come back and say, okay, but then what about this? And what about that? And he will answer those things. And these are the questions that we all ask when we go through a tough time. Just wanted to hit on those in a unique way and still be able to interweave the gospel gently in there about the cross and even in a very non-judgmental, non-preachy way, talk about what Christ did for our sin. You know, I put the word sin in there. I address it. You know, I just touch on it, that his redemption is for us. So, you know, not to point anything to our suffering in that way. Well, I do say, generally speaking, that about death was homespun in the garden with a choice to disobey, plunging flesh inside deep ruin, binding life to blind decay. But I chose to die and save you, break the curse and take the nails. Glory rose through righteous suffering. You were born through my travails. I wanted to get apologetics in there, too. I wanted to talk about how all creation speaks his majesty and show that by beautiful things like the glistening rivers and purple perfect skies. Who could deny these what were made by God who is true and wise? I won't say that whole poem, but, you know, you get the idea. It's just, I wanted to have people look at, don't forget, there is a good and loving God out there who loves you, and he can do anything. He can make this beauty. He can forgive this sin. He can help you through. And so don't forget where he's brought you from, because he will take you where you're meant to go. So.
Cheryl Ricker is our guest today. A Friend in the Storm is the title of her book. It's a book of poems, especially meant for people going through trouble. You know, people in pain, Cheryl, often perceive God as being silent. How do you help them hear God's voice in this book?
Well, I help them to hear God's voice by really just letting them to meditate on those scriptures and pointing them to those topics that we were mentioning about. And I just wanted them to know that we have a tendency to panic in those times. We all do.
Mm-hmm.
But we can know that he is right there, and he's not going to seem silent forever. And so whenever that happens, that we start to get our anxiety at a high level, I wanted readers to know that even though we might be shrouded from hearing him, like even King David in the Bible and some others were, that he is there. And so there were some things that I wanted the readers to know. I wanted them to hear him say that, I love you. I'll never leave you or your loved ones. Give me your burdens. I'll take care of you. Your past, present, and future is in my hands. Life is but a drop in the bucket compared to eternity and to the amazing things that await you. And you can be sure that heaven is your permanent home. I am the great forgiver, and I'll also help you forgive. I'll never waste an ounce of your pain. Rather, I'll bring it into something beautiful, and I'll lead you step by step and restore your soul. I'll comfort you so you can comfort others. I promise I will carry you safely home.
A Friend in the Storm by Cheryl Ricker from Zondervan. You know, Cheryl, these poets, especially good poets, seem sometimes to have their own vocabulary, their own way of using words and of defining words in some cases. Does this come naturally to you, or do you have to work hard at it?
Kind of both.
Okay.
I feel that I have to work very hard at it. I've come a long way by just practice, you know, like I tell my kids, keep practicing your instruments. I practice this instrument of writing poetry, but rhyming itself does, I find that sometimes I break out into rhyme when I'm talking to people on rare occasion. I really do. And one time I was at a bookstore giving a talk to the whole staff, and it was not even intentional. I found that I had about 5 different sentences in a row that rhymed, and it just ended up being a real comedy hour. But so rhyming, it can happen. But, you know, my grandmother was a poet, a closet poet, and after she passed away, we found a lot of poems that she had hidden away, unfortunately. And I thought to myself, that's one thing that I don't want to do. I want to let my light shine. And I didn't ever expect my first book would be a book with poetry, quotes, and scripture. But I did know from the time I was young that I was called to be a writer of some kind. I just felt that I never really wavered in that. And I pursued creative writing at university and got my degree in creative writing, actually, before I went to Bible college. So it's always been there. I just never really would have expected that I could have done this. And it's a God thing. That's why I say it like that, because He put it together and opened all these amazing doors for me.
Well, I was going to ask you how you were trained to do this, or if you were trained to do this. Can you elaborate maybe a little on how you were trained? You said college?
Yep, I went to a university in Canada where I'm from, York University, and I did a four-year degree in creative writing, and I learned screenwriting, poetry, fiction, nonfiction, just about everything. Writing, and I liked poetry. It's very different in college than what I do, you know. And I say that because if any poets are listening, you know, my style of poetry is more a greeting card style that everybody, you know, can understand. And it's more, it's musical, but I am still utilizing some of the literary devices that I learned in college, so that's kind of neat that I'm able to put together, you know, those different aspects of the poem, of the craft.
Mm-hmm, sure.
But I also am able to speak to people like my mom, who would never want to open up a contemporary poetry book, for instance. And so I'm trying to reach both sets of people, because really I'm not trying to put focus on the poetry, but on what it's representing, and so that people can see the powerful imagery and just have something to meditate on after that sticks in their mind.
Well, I think that when you use the devices, the structures that poets have used for centuries, you're just adding a dimension of depth that makes what? Makes the work more lasting, perhaps?
I think so. I just, it's one of those things where I really just wanted to focus on the sound bonding. It's called the internal rhyme, and as well as, you know, the typical metaphors, similes, but because that's what poetry does. It makes you look at life differently. Mm-hmm. You don't want to ever be cliche. You know,
right.
Even sometimes scripture, when we talk about gold going through the fire, I wanted to have it be, my poem was, when we go through the fire, we're like glass. Because one time I was at Niagara Falls, and I saw these people that took these pieces of glass and they stuck it in the fire, and they made this beautiful glass art. And I wanted to show in one of my poems called Artisan that that God is our artisan, and he allows us to go through trials, he is bending us to beauty, and he is turning us into something that will eventually reflect his face, just like glass reflects. So I was focusing on a different aspect of what trials can do, as well as what God the artisan can do, you know, to help us see things differently.
Yeah, yeah. Trials come to all of us, and we really find out what we're made of when we go through trials. Sometimes it's easy to have joy when things are going well, but when trials come, how do we learn to embrace joy? How do we find joy in those times as well?
Well, we can find joy in those times by just remembering that God is our source of joy, and he wants to be able to have us be strong in him. And actually, I can tell you that this is hitting personally to me right now, because I just had a close family member die yesterday, and I just found out. And so I'm still grieving. I'm in shock.
Yeah.
I'm in shock is what it is. And so I thought, Lord, I believe you're sovereign, like what I'm talking about, but I don't even understand the timing. Here I'm going to be on the radio, and I'm talking about joy. They're going to ask me about joy.
Mm.
And I'm still grieving the loss of my precious Aunt Shirley. But I can tell you that there is a joy in knowing that God is good, and he is in charge. I don't know if my aunt was a Christian, and so that's another thing, too. Sometimes we know how to comfort believers because we say that they are with the Lord and they're in joy, and we know we'll be with them again. But what happens when it's someone we're not sure about?
Yeah.
And that's where, you know, we just need to trust that God is sovereign, and he has a plan for it, and we can trust that he's just, and we don't know what happened in the very last minute of her life.
Yes.
Because, and in fact, one of my 45 hope-filled topics that brings us joy, because hope and joy and all of these things are really connected. But I wanted to talk about the thief on the cross. And the poem is called, it's about last-minute hope, basically. And let me see. Yeah, and it was really talking about how it can, there's hope for people in the last minute. So I wanted to remind people of that.
Well, that's important to remember, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Where there's life, there's hope.
Absolutely.
Yeah. This book is a collection of poems, as we've said, of quotes and of scripture verses. And they're written, a lot of it, from your own experience. Did you see anything new as you collected these poems that you maybe hadn't seen or realized when you wrote the poems?
Well, I learned that I didn't have a lot of patience all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned that perseverance does pay off, because it was more than 5 years that it took me. And sometimes people will say, and they'll want to be polite, and they'll ask about the book. How is it coming?
You know? Uh-huh.
I learned that you can't worry about what people think of you, because people don't know. You have to hear from God, and if he tells you to do something, you do it, and he'll bless you, and he will... whether it's published for people to see or it's just for yourself doesn't matter so much as it does to obey him. So I had to kind of come to a place like what I talk about in my book, where you just lay it down and you're willing to say, not my will, but your will be done. You know, I'm going to do what you ask me to do. And if you choose to, you know, in the book, like if you choose to heal me, if you choose not to, if you choose this or that, then I will trust you. And I know that you will reward me for doing that, and I will walk in your blessing. And when I say walk in your blessing, I don't mean necessarily that everything's going to go wonderfully, but I just mean in his protection and his, with him and step with him, with his spirit. And so that's the only safe place to be anyways, is to be in the will of God. So I learned that, and God also worked some issues. He helped me to be more secure about myself and about my relationship with him and my future. So, yeah,
okay.
There's been a lot of things he's done.
Very good. A Friend in the Storm by Cheryl Ricker from Zondervan. Cheryl, how can we get a copy of A Friend in the Storm?
Well, it's available at Barnes & Noble and Borders, and if it's not in the store, you can always ask them and they can order it for you. And Christian bookstores, you can, most of them have it, and you can order it too. And my website, friendinthestorm.com, friendinthestorm.com. You can also read a lot of poems on there. I blog about them right from the poems, and you can purchase autographed copies from me, too.
All right, very good. A Friend in the Storm by Cheryl Ricker from Zondervan. Cheryl, I want to thank you for spending time with us today and giving us a little insight into this book and into suffering and trials. We appreciate it very much.
Well, thank you, Steve, for having me. It has been a joy to be here with you today.